That's the voice of Katie Caden appearing on The Voice right now. Katie, thanks for joining us here on WGN Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, those pipes are incredible, and that sound comes from Chicago.
Yes!
Summit, so to Chicago. Be exact.
Oh, that's true.
Yes.
Yes, born and raised in Summit. That was always the thing. People would always say to me, "You're not from Chicago, you're from Summit." I'm like, if I cross the street, I'm in Chicago.
Yeah, just cross Harlem the other way and you're right,
right
there. So you're on The Voice now. Walk us through where we are in the season, what's happening. You've gotten the chairs turned around. Give us the update.
Well, I auditioned for The Blinds and I got 4 chair turns.
So for people that don't know what The Blinds are, what is that? If people have never watched The Voice.
So
I think that they've seen these moments happen, but The Blinds are the early part of the seasons, right?
Absolutely. It's the beginning part of the show where you have to audition for your 4 coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And the 4 coaches are Blake Shelton, John Legend, Gwen Stefani, and Kelly Clarkson.
Some people we've heard of before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're pretty amazing. And you sing when they're not facing you.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do, it's amazing.
So what? Yes, right. You want them to turn around.
Correct.
So what was that like? I mean, you're standing there, you're singing. I mean, where does that come from? Are you nervous? Do you channel it away? Walk us through that moment.
I had to channel it away. You know, I've been performing professionally around Chicago for a little over 8 years. Not that long, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of got into the scene a little bit later in my life. I mean, I'm not that old.
No.
And I got my start at the Wonder Bar. So just playing different stages throughout the city, it prepared me for this stage. Was I nervous? Not really. It was weird.
Really?
That I wasn't, yeah. I mean, I had my little moments.
Yeah.
Little bits and pieces, like, ooh.
I'm sure throughout the day, aren't you, a little bit, but maybe in that moment, you were able to channel.
You know what? I was so busy.
Yeah.
Like, filming different things where they take you around and film B-roll and all that stuff. I didn't even know what B-roll meant until
you sounded like a pro
voice.
Just there,
I know,
by the
right?
way. Now you
I
know.
I should have faked it.
Yeah, you're really in now. So then what happens? You start singing. How long till the chairs start turning around?
Not too long. John turned, he was the first to turn around pretty soon before I got to the big thing with my voice. I don't know the big thing.
I know what you're talking about, though, where you really reach back. You reach down and it comes out.
I'm like really feeling. I just gave him a little ooh, little bop, you know, one of those.
So when John turns around, I mean, you're already in really great shape there at that point. And then does it then make you just perform even bigger at that point? Because you got nothing to lose then.
What I was doing is my plan wasn't to really sing to them because their backs were turned to me. And I learned so many great things from friends, Chicago musicians. Sing to your audience. There was a big audience that I was singing to, so I sang to them. And I thought, if I can sing to them, the coaches can watch their faces and see their reaction to what I'm doing. And I think I just did that. And once John turned around, it was awesome. And then they started going one by one, then Blake, and then Kelly, and then Gwen. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And I was so in the moment that I kind of wasn't even thinking about the whole turning around thing. I was just having fun. And I got to play with an awesome band.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, well, and, like, I really
mean,
good.
And that's the thing. I mean, you're singing blues. So it's about the band as much, not as much, but you know what I mean? Like, the sound is an all-encompassing sound when you're talking about blues.
For sure.
How long have you sang blues? Is that just part of your DNA?
I think so. It started with gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Gospel music. Actually, folk music before, and I was classically trained as well. As a young singer, I was in Chicago choirs growing up, and when I got into the blues, I think it was because gospel was such a part of that gut singing, you know, and my Uncle Ray taught me how to all about the blues.
Mm-hmm.
He would tell me stories and feel, and he'd play for me, and we'd make up blues songs. I'm like, I'm pretty good at this. I should try this.
And you did it a bunch in church, which I mean, I think is such a classic gospel blues story.
Yeah,
you hear blues singers talk about that all the time. I mean, so many of them started in church. But at what point do you switch and say, okay, well, I sing as part of a choir, and maybe you get a solo too, or a line or two or something like that. That's nerve-wracking enough. And then say, no, I want to do this and be front and center.
Like in the bars?
Yeah.
Church to the bars. Yes. Is that what you're asking me, John?
How do you switch to where the booze is?
Is that what you're asking me?
Yes, exactly.
Well, yeah. Totally different experiences, but really, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I felt. Singing to God or leading people into song has always been my thing. I'm also a teacher and was a vocal coach, and still am a vocal coach. So
her rate's gone up, everyone, just a little bit.
I know. I can't wait. Yes. Hire me. Yeah. It's worth every penny.
Right. I'm reading off the website. We talked about this morning on The Jam, the idea of, you know, someone had to, and I feel the same. I did a little stand-up before, not very good, but it took kind of someone taking you aside and saying, hey, you're pretty good at this. Do it. And I had those insecurities too, and still doing this business, as I think a lot of folks do on air. Did that happen to you? Did someone have to kind of say, hey, you're darn good at this, to give you a little bit extra confidence, or did you always know deep inside?
I think it was gigging a lot in the city. In the beginning, I was super insecure. I was, and terrified. Like, I would get sick to my stomach. And I'm not going to go into detail about that.
Right.
But before performances, and then the more I did it, I just realized, you know, singing in a loud bar, you can't always grab everybody's attention. But it was such a learning experience. When I didn't grab people's attention, I sang for me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I sang for me, then everybody followed suit. And I think that's true as an artist, you know, like as a singer, an artist too. And when we feel a song, and I tell all my students, when you feel your song, everybody else is going to feel it too.
Mm-hmm.
So that was...
They know, that confidence. No, really. But I mean, like, when you watch someone, I mean, it's all about what they... If they are having a good time, you can't help but smile. I mean, the talent comes along with that too, and that's important stuff.
And if you get dirty looks, you just think, jerk. Maybe.
Yeah. Thank you for your radio version of what you think about people that give you dirty looks.
Oh, no, that's not the radio version. That's the real version.
What's the blues scene like in Chicago?
I mean, love the blues scene.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. I've been partaking in the blues scene for a couple years now. I started at the Women's Jam at Blues on Halsted.
Mm-hmm.
And they just let me up on stage. Actually, the first time I went on stage was, it was at a Women's Jam. And then the second time, Mike Ledbetter, who was a blues singer that passed away this year, really let me and taught me a lot about the blues as well, and how to perform and to understand the history of the blues too. It was just such a great community. And they have women pro jams, too, where the women come up and get to shine, you know, and do what they do. A lot of people like Peaches Satin and Miss Peaches were great women in the blues community that really let me on their stage and shared their stage. And just watching different artists play who have been doing it for so long and traveled all over the world really taught me a thing or two. The blues scene is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. It's a lot of tourists come to the blues clubs, a lot of Chicagoans too. I'd like to see more Chicagoans, to be honest with you.
And I got to agree. And here, so I grew up, my dad, soul, blues, Motown. That's what we grew up to.
That's awesome.
White guy from Downers Grove. That's what we grew up to. That's what it was all about. Oh, yeah. Shout out, Southwest Burbs. Blues Brothers in the house every Saturday morning, you know, F words and all. My parents let us watch it. It was okay. And then you grow up a little bit, and I lost touch a little bit with that scene, and I come to Chicago, and I lived here 6 years before I went to Kingston Mines, and I was dragged by my now husband there because he was doing it for a work event. And I didn't even know, and this place was...
Shame on you,
right?
John.
But I'm admitting, I'm trying to come
no,
forward.
No, I know, I'm sorry.
No, but like...
I don't mean to shame you.
But I went there, and I was awoken. No, the shame all the way, because I don't think people realize how vibrant the scene is and how much fun
it really is.
Blueses, how just you can be awe-inspired by voices, by but more than that, by the band that's happening, a guitar lick, whatever it might be, the drummer, the guy who does it all. the gal that does it all, whatever it might be. So you mentioned Blues on Halsted, Kingston Mines. Any other places you want to give a shout out to?
There is a place called The Waterhole. It's a juke joint. Super fun. They play a lot of blues. Hyde Park Speakeasy is really great. Have you been?
No, I've not been down there, but a lot of folks talk about it.
Yeah,
I've been a couple places down in Hyde Park, but not there.
My friend Lorna Boston runs a pro jam, and she used to do it at the Underground Wonder Bar for 27 years. And all the pros in Chicago come, and they bring their instrument, and you know, it's just like a big jam session, but like on steroids. So good. That's where I did a lot of learning. So she's going to have one at the Speakeasy in Hyde Park on Thursday.
This Thursday?
This Thursday night.
Or wait, are you going to be there?
I'm going to be there.
All right, there you go.
Are you going to be there?
I wake up at 3:30 in the morning.
You're not going to
Can you
be
call
there.
Me in sick? Can you do it on Friday instead? We're going to take a quick commercial break. You can stick around, though, a little longer, right? Before we do, though, in case someone's running out of their car or whatever they're going, new album, right?
New album.
Yeah, tell us about where they can get that and what it's all about.
They can get it on iTunes. It's called Katie Caden, my name, K-A-D-A-N. My first full-length album. Super excited about it. Put it out a few months ago. And you can get it on Spotify and iTunes, all of streaming devices, or katiekaden.com.
That's awesome.
For a CD.
K-A-D-A-N. Quick commercial break. We'll hear a little bit more off the album, and then more with Katie Caden here on 720 WGN. Katie Caden here on Extension 720, contestant on The Voice. So where are we at in how the season works and what's coming up next? As much as you're able to reveal, I obviously know it's a big suspenseful show that people are watching on NBC, but walk us through it.
It's actually on right now, too.
Oh, right at this moment?
I think so.
Are you on TV as we're talking?
No. This is, I think, the third week of blind auditions.
Okay, so this is that first part. And
yes.
You're on Team Legend, right?
I'm on Team Legend.
Yeah. What does that mean to you? I mean, to be on John Legend's team.
Well, I mean, John Legend.
Yeah, right.
Pretty awesome.
Right.
And has velvet pipes, so it's pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I heard you singing there on, I imagine that's off the album, that what we just heard. What is that song called, by the way?
Hey Yo.
Hey Yo.
I
like that. I can only imagine hearing you live. Because, like, blues has that way to, like, move you when you feel someone holding a note or going in a place that you didn't think vocal cords could go. But to actually feel the vibrations as an audience member, I think makes live music so much better than anything else. And you mentioned you're playing this Thursday. Are you have any other dates booked or anything's coming up that people can catch you out on? Or is it to the website and find out more information, I guess?
Well, I'm doing, but it's kind of a closed thing.
Okay.
Navy Pier.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But it's a private thing?
It's a private thing.
It's a gala.
Yeah.
No more tickets available? That's okay.
I don't think so. Oh, there are?
Well,
there are tickets available.
What is the gala? Do you know what it's for, or should we? We can always plug it a little bit later if we got to look it up in the break.
Yeah, totally. I don't want to mess it up.
Okay.
But I know I'm headlining.
Now it's a private gala and a secret one. So
secret
gala.
Find out later.
Yes, we'll tell you about it before we go to the news. And so in The Voice. So then, when is the next time we might see you? Or it's obviously coming up in a couple weeks, or how does it go?
In a couple weeks, I think. I don't find out till the Friday before.
Oh, really?
So you'll have to check out my Instagram, Katie Caden Official, to find out when I'm airing.
What's that like for you, just to not kind of know exactly what's next?
It's miserable.
Really?
A little bit.
Because everyone like me asks these questions.
It's a patience builder.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I'm like, oh, I want to see. So,
what's it like watching yourself on TV?
It's fun.
Yeah, you're cool with it?
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Because some people are just like, never show it to me. I don't want to see a single episode. But I mean, this is such a big moment in your life that you got to watch. Are you watching with friends and family? Is everyone gathered around?
Yes, we all got together, my family. We all got together at my cousin's house in Orland.
Mm-hmm.
And you think a few family members. No, there was 50 of us.
50 people.
Yes.
So what's up?
15 people.
Were people cheering along
we
with the crowd?
We had a couple TVs going and, you know, a lot of like, can you keep it down? Mm-hmm. A lot of those things happening.
Had you told everyone what was happening or did you say, hey, you gotta watch and see?
No, I had to keep it a secret.
Yeah.
Do you know how horrible that is?
I can't even imagine.
It's bad.
Especially when it's good news. You mm-hmm. know? Right?
I just had to hold it in.
Yes, and you just waited. And did the people cheer when each of those chairs turned around?
Everybody went nuts. Mm-hmm. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is obviously a big moment for you. Have you mm-hmm. had a chance to kind of say, you know, hold on, pinch yourself, enjoy it? These moments, I know the jam this morning was probably a highlight for you.
It was. I had so much fun. I really did.
We had a great time.
It was lovely.
This morning. Well, you got this great personality.
Thanks.
And obviously here on radio, people can't see. You got these great glasses, the big bow in the hair. Tell us about your style, your personality, who you are as a person.
Oh my gosh, who I am as a person. Amazing.
No. Right.
My mom really likes me. Yeah.
I can relate. Mm-hmm.
Style, I don't know. I have always loved fashion,
mm-hmm.
But when I was my younger self, I was afraid to try new things. And to be honest with you, it was harder to buy fashion when you're a big girl.
Mm-hmm.
Things weren't available, and I had to like shop at what I called at that time old lady stores. I know that sounds terrible,
right? But
that's what I had to do, mm-hmm. and I had to like cut things up, or I had to take different pieces of fabric to kind of create my own style. Now I had a lot of failures back in the day, but now I feel like I'm getting better. I'm taking back the things that I once was made fun of and kind of making it my own. I feel like if you walk around with confidence, you can try different things.
Do you feel like those things, especially in blues?
Mm.
I mean, you've got to pull from I don't think there's a blues singer out there that doesn't have some disappointment in their life,
right.
Some things they've
yeah,
gotten over. That's like
sure.
the whole point. Do you
Absolutely.
Feel like you pull a lot from whether it was growing up or past relationships?
Yeah.
And it really comes out?
Absolutely. You know, who said it? From your greatest pain comes the best art.
Mm-hmm.
But from joy comes the best art too.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the different sides. And I think I've been writing for a long time, but people didn't know about it until about 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this is my first album. So I don't know. I'm kind of getting sidetracked.
That's okay.
You asked me about my cool style.
Yeah, just
I kind of don't know. Yeah. It's just having fun.
You have a confidence
having fun
about
with color.
You. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you don't have prescription glasses. They're just
no. They're lensless glasses.
They're cool.
They're really cool.
I gotta
right?
say
Are
though,
you just
as someone
that
John,
no,
I'm just jealous because as someone who had to wear big glasses because I have really terrible eyes, and back in the day they didn't have like thin lenses; they were just these thick, hairy, carry glasses.
Oh.
I'm jealous that you get to wear them and then you don't actually have.
Okay, can I tell you something?
Yes.
I'm legally blind in my left eye.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I, as a kid,
so you get it.
I had to wear an eye patch.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not even kidding.
Do you have a song about an eye patch?
No. Now
you,
I'm going to write one.
I was just going to say.
It's going to happen.
One eye covered. I'm not going to sing, but I'll
what
let you.
What if I steal that? You shouldn't say that.
Yes.
That
start with one eye covered, the other one wide open. You can see with one, even though the other.
It's kind of blurry.
Blind. Yeah, it's a little blurry or
yeah.
blind. Or covered with an eye patch.
Covered with an eye patch.
You never know where you're going to go with these interviews. Katie Caden, you're awesome. Where can people find more information about what it is that you do and your music?
Yeah, you can go to Katie Caden Official on Instagram, Katie Caden on Twitter, and katiecaden.com.
All right, so you have two assignments. Once you go out and do great things, as you'll continue doing The Voice. Oh, The Voice, you can get to The Voice on...
Yes, NBC.
Okay.
It's going to be airing tomorrow as well.
Okay.
At 7 o'clock.
All right, very good. You got to now come to the jam when you get big, and now WGN Radio, too.
Okay, well, right. Now we're friends, John.
Yeah, so. We're done. That's it.
That's it.
KatieCaden.com. Thanks so much, Katie.
Thank you.
We'll tease in just a bit what's coming up ahead of the news, and we'll tell you about the Secret Gala here on Extension 720. Katie Caden, KADAN. She, the Secret Gala no more. It's going to be at Navy Pier. The experience, like Navy Pier, PIER, you get it. The tickets are available at NavyPier.org. It is on Wednesday, October 23rd, and Katie is headlining it. And that is really great stuff. After the news, we're going to be doing some more Extension 720. John Hansen in for Justin Kaufman on WGN.